Post sprays on clear and dries instantly, blocking the burn and the bite for up to 8 hours. Waterproof and sweatproof Bullfrog Mosquito Coast, the insect repellent that makes summer easier. For a check in your forecast, we check back in with meteorologist Tommy Els.
Our temperature tonight will be rather mild, 60 to 65, a partly cloudy sky, and just a slight chance of a shower, thunder shower. Hazy, hot, humid tomorrow, 85 to 90 with a late day shower, thunderstorm. That tapers off early Friday night, that partly cloudy mid-60s. Saturday and Sunday, partly sunny, warm and humid in the 80s, and we could see a passing shower or thunderstorm. This is meteorologist Tommy Els from the WFAS Weather Center.
The following is a paid program. The opinions expressed are solely those of the sponsor and not necessarily those of WFAS or its advertisers.
Peace of mind with Lippman Crooks.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. Heard right here on WFAS AM 1230. Every Thursday evening from 6:05 to 6:35 p.m. And this week, our guest is Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblatt. Rabbi, welcome.
Thank you, Bernie. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you on the show. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about your work in the hospice field, but why don't you tell us a little bit about your day job?
Well, my day job, which is usually a day and night job, is I have the great pleasure of being the senior rabbi of the Riverdale Jewish Center in the Bronx.
And about how many families do you have?
Well, it's like children. We don't count them, but it's somewhere around 750.
Okay, so that's a full-time job, isn't it?
A little more than full-time, thank God.
So in your spare time, what do you do in your spare time?
Well, I am also the director of spiritual care at the Jack and Molly Zicklin Jewish Hospice, Residential Hospice, which is right across the highway from us in Riverdale, New York.
And how long have you been doing that?
I have been doing that since the hospice opened, just about 3 years ago.
And how many patients do they generally have there?
Well, we are an 18-bed unit, and we are usually full and usually have a waiting list.
To get in?
To get in.
And so tell us about, just for our listeners who are not familiar, tell us about the types of services a hospice provides, why people go in there.
Well, hospice generally is a package of services and benefits that is available to people whose prognosis is that they will live for 6 months or less. That doesn't mean that all of the people who come to us pass away within that time frame, because very often our patients outlive by a long stretch what the initial predictions are with their prognosis. Many people receive hospice care in their homes, and the hospice organization Continuum, Jacob Perlow Hospice, with which we are associated, services hundreds of people in their homes. Our hospice is unique because it is a place where home-style care can be given for people who, for one reason or another, cannot be at home, who don't have relatives to care for them, or who are in a city far away from their families and want to stay in the community.
So is that what you mean by a residential hospice?
Yes. Each of our residents has their own small unit, which is like a little apartment, which is serviced by our team of caregivers.
And what would it be called if it weren't a residential hospice, just a regular hospice?
Well, you could be on home hospice, which means that the patient would be in his home or her home and receive the services through visits. Some nursing homes and other long care facilities also offer hospice care for their residents and patients.
So you could either be receiving it in a hospital or a nursing home, you could be receiving it in your own home, or you could be receiving it in a place that has a residential hospice?
Absolutely.
And the difference between the residential hospice and let's say a nursing home would be, instead of having like a bed in a facility, you'd have something closer to your home, like an apartment.
Correct.
And you mentioned that people have to be terminal or have a prognosis of living less than 6 months.
Right. That is the general requirement for hospice designation.
So if the doctor told you that you had a year to live, you wouldn't be eligible?
Correct.
And by eligible, are these decisions made by the insurance companies or by the hospice itself?
No, there's generally, this is a matter of insurance coverage. Medicare, Medicaid, and many private insurers have a hospice benefit. And that benefit kicks in as soon as a doctor will say that this patient's condition would statistically predict that they would live 6 months or fewer.
Okay, so it's an insurance or a reimbursement issue.
Correct.
So do most people go into hospices pay out of pocket, or they receive Medicare, Medicaid, or some type of insurance?
I think something like over 75% of our residents are Medicare and Medicaid, and many are covered by their insurance. So I'd say the minority is private pay.
And if private pay would cost approximately how much?
Well, in private pay, there is one component is the medical component, which is almost always covered by Medicare, and the other component is, I should have this number, in the range of $200 a day for everything else, for room, board, food, and all
okay,
that.
So just so our listeners can get a frame of reference here, a nursing home locally could run $300 or $400 a day. In fact, there's one in Riverdale that's $600 a day. And hospitals can cost $800, $1,000, $1,200, $1,500 a day. Does that sound about right?
Sounds reasonable.
Yeah. Okay, so the doctor says you're going to die within 6 months, and it turns out you go to the hospice, and 6 months go by, and you're still living. Do you get discharged?
Almost never. There is usually a recertification process, although we are delighted that we do have a few what we call alumni, people who came to the hospice and actually became well and left us and went back to mainstream society. Much more common is the patient who will come in with a diagnosis. At the end of 6 months, there's a medical evaluation, certain criteria, and if at that time they are predicted to live fewer than 6 months from that date, then they can be recertified.
So on the first day or soon thereafter, after the 6 months expires and the person's still living, they can be recertified by a physician, one physician saying, okay, you still have less than 6 months to live.
Correct.
And wasn't there a famous person recently that came out of a hospice and lived for a couple of years outside?
Not familiar with that.
Yeah, I can't think of the name, but I do recall, because you mentioned that there's actually once in a while a case.
You may be thinking of Art Buchwald.
That's it.
Who, thank God, had an extra lease on life. Unfortunately, he eventually succumbed. But after embracing hospice, we like to think that hospice helped give him that extra time, which is incredibly common, that people come to us really sick, and the care at our hospice is extremely focused and gentle and very holistic. And very often the period of healthy living that they enjoy is extended, and so that they are, for a very long time, much healthier, much happier than they were when they came to us.
Now, you know, our law firm specializes in elder care, so we get feedback from a lot of our clients. And when they go into a hospital, sometimes they're happy with the care, but a lot of times they're not. They go into a nursing home, same story. Half of them may say they got terrific care, and the other half might say it killed their parent. But yet, I could say it's just about unanimous. When clients go into hospices, whether it's yours or just about any other one, the family comes out of the experience just so grateful and so thankful and so appreciative of the hospice. Why do you think it's different for hospices than other maybe healthcare providers?
Well, because I believe that often in a hospital, the sickness is treated. And so doctors will come and give a chart the very best care that a chart can get. In hospice, the approach is multidiscipline, and that means that the focus is always on the patient. And that is not only from the physicians, it is from the nurses, who are placed very much in front and center. It is from the team of volunteers. It is from the social work team, the spiritual care team, which is my department, and the aides. In our hospice, I think I can say with absolute security that no one ever encounters a patient anonymously. Every aide who walks into the room to tidy up, to bring the patient something, views that as a human interaction, an intervention, if you will. And that's true up and down the line. In addition to which, we are really tremendously supportive to the family. a hospice family. We view the unit as the patient and family. The minute a patient comes into us, we are already flagging which members of the family are likely to have a difficult bereavement process. And working with them and actually following them for 13 months after the patient may depart from this world to make sure they're okay.
So it sounds like, Rabbi, that your focus or the hospice's focus is not solely on the resident, but you're also caring and providing support to the family members.
Absolutely. And helping them to be helpful to the resident. And in cases where residents have no family, the hospice team becomes a family. Tomorrow afternoon, a few hours before the Sabbath, when rabbis are usually busy, I will be attending a memorial service for one of our residents who passed on, who's not Jewish, by the way, and I'm co-officiating with one of the other chaplains, a dear friend, Reverend James Parker, who is a Christian minister, and we are co-officiating at a memorial service because this man had hardly anyone, and the staff needs to know that he did not leave the world anonymously. So we're going to make the equivalent of a memorial service or a funeral in his honor.
That is a beautiful thing, and as some might say, a mitzvah.
I would hope so, since I paid for the flowers out of my discretionary fund, which has to be a first for an Orthodox rabbi.
I'm Bernie Crooks, and I'm speaking with Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblatt, and we're going to be right back after this short break.
Sooner or later, disability or illness strikes every family, and unfortunately, that's not the time to do the planning. The best time is in advance, before a crisis strikes.
Bernie Crooks, from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Susan, Vincent and Sheila's oldest daughter, had called us because one of her friend's parents recently had been diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and their financial affairs were a mess. They had not done any advance planning.
Susan didn't want that to happen to her parents. The caring professionals at Littman Crooks helped her design a comprehensive plan that provided for long-term care while protecting her parents' hard-earned assets.
Susan and her siblings now have the peace of mind of knowing that their parents can go on with the rest of their lives without having to worry about what would happen if one of them became sick or disabled.
Your parents had big plans for you. Make sure you have one for them. Call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back. I'm Bernie Crooks, and our guest this week is Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblatt, and we've been talking about the excellent hospice care that's being provided. And, you know, Rabbi, it occurred to me that hospices really get it, the way they provide the care, the way the focus is on the patient and the family. What are your thoughts on, you know, why can't the rest of society figure this out? Why can't hospitals and nursing homes and other healthcare providers take the same approach? Why do we have to wait until somebody's 6 months away from dying?
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Bernie, but I think there is some hope on the horizon that as a field, palliative care, which concerns itself with the comfort of the patient, how the patient experiences their stay in the hospital, is growing by leaps and bounds, was just recognized as an official discipline by the American Medical Association. In addition, I think that there is much more collaborative work going on in hospitals, using the skills of social workers and spiritual care providers as a package for patients. But you're right, they still have, in my opinion, a lot to learn from hospice.
Well, hopefully they'll continue learning.
Please God.
So you mentioned palliative care. How does a physician reconcile that with the Hippocratic Oath?
I think that palliative care is sometimes misunderstood. It is a focus on making sure that patients are free from pain and from discomfort. It is not in any way an abandonment of the obligation to heal, but an understanding that what we can offer any given patient has to recognize limits and to understand that most people who suffer either because of pain or a sense of abandonment. Surveys have brought this out, and pain and suffering are not synonymous. That some we experience a certain amount of pain in our lives, such as childbirth, but pain which is unremitting and the pain of being alone with suffering is the real suffering, and that's what we alleviate.
And are doctors receiving formalized training now? Is this part of the curriculum at medical schools?
Absolutely, and growing all the time.
Okay, so I mean, I guess then it would just be the older physicians who maybe went to medical school before palliative care, you know, became more in the public eye. I guess they would have to also receive some kind of training.
I think that's correct, but I've known a lot of older physicians who experience has honed and who've learned to intuit a kind of human wisdom.
You know, I used to sit on the bioethics committee at a local hospital, and there was a person like you, a chaplain, and there were board members from the hospital, people from the community, and it's really staggering how many people don't take the time to plan in advance and have a healthcare proxy and a living will so that they can put down in writing what their wishes are if they ever become sick or terminally ill and can't communicate those wishes to their healthcare providers. And, you know, this was a couple of years back, but it was my experience in dealing with these cases. People would come in, be in a condition where they couldn't talk to their physician, had not exercise their right to have a healthcare proxy or a living will, and there we were deciding whether or not they were going to live or die, in effect. And I can only recall that almost unanimously the physicians were arguing that, you know, they thought they could save the person and they want to go the extra mile. What do you do in terms of when physicians consult with you as to what the right thing to do is? How do you have that conversation with them?
I think it's very important that that conversation be inclusive. In other words, the conversation should include the family. Conversation should include the physician. Very often, a neglected seat at the table is the long-time caregiver who may be working very closely with the patient and has intimately known their habits and their wishes. I think the key here is to facilitate conversations. I agree with you. To me, the most valuable two utensils in such a conversation are a pot of excellent coffee and a really good piece of cake, because it should be had long before anyone is worrying about actual application. And the living will and the healthcare proxy very often serves as a vehicle to help families have this conversation. And parents who have this with their adult children, and I very often, by the way, like to include grandchildren, even from ages as young as 9, 10, 11, around the table in that conversation, because the modeling is incredibly important.
You raise an excellent point. It's not so much the documents themselves, because many people can draw up their documents, meet with an attorney, and then file away the documents in a safe somewhere. And if they haven't had the family conversation, then people aren't really going to understand what that person's wishes are or were or would be in that situation. And I think it's so critical to get everyone together. And I'm delighted to hear that you support that and actually participate in those discussions.
Well, for sure. And in my particular case, for families who are traditional or Orthodox, Jewish law, halakha, plays a very important role. And the participation of the family rabbi can give people the moral legs to be able to make these decisions and not to feel that somehow they may be in violation of God's law if they move in a given direction.
Okay, so I think reading between the lines here, you're referring to the fact that it's against Talmudic law, I believe, to commit suicide.
That's correct. It's against the law to commit suicide, and certainly euthanasia,
right,
per se is not an option.
So I guess one of your roles, if I'm understanding you correctly, is to counsel the family so that they understand that this is not crossing the line.
Correct. Especially, you know, every case is a different world. I remember sitting next to a woman who was an only child, unmarried, whose father was dying in an ICU unit. And he really had reached the end. And she needed help giving him peace. She needed, in essence, someone else to say, I take some of this responsibility with you, and let's let your father rest. So people always think that the rabbi is going to be the one holding the red light. Sometimes we're the ones who keep the green light on to allow, you know, when the extension of life has given way to the extension of death. In some occasions, the source of compassion and benevolence comes directly from the law.
So you could actually give the caregiver or loved one the courage to make a tough decision.
Sometimes.
I'm Bernie Crooks, and I'm speaking with Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblatt. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Every parent worries about their kids. Unfortunately, when you have a child with disabilities, the worries are much greater.
Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Amy and Bruce had been talking about going to a lawyer to help them ever since Charlie was born. Charlie has cerebral palsy.
The experts at Littman Crooks helped Amy and Bruce set up a special needs trust to provide for Charlie's medical and financial needs for today and for the future.
The rules are very complex. You truly do need an expert to help you navigate through all the federal and state regulations to make sure that your child gets the benefits he or she is entitled to.
Do you have a child with special needs? Call the law offices of Littman Crooks.
We don't know what the future holds for Amy, Bruce, or their son Charlie, but what Amy and Bruce do know is that they've done everything in their power to ensure that Charlie has the best quality of life possible when Amy and Bruce are here and when they're not here.
Littman Crooks, in White Plains, Manhattan, or online at specialneedsnewyork.com.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. I'm your host, Bernie Crooks, from the law firm Littman Crooks, and we're based right here in White Plains. And this week our guest is Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblatt, and we're talking about hospice care and how valuable it is to families and their loved ones. And Rabbi, the hospice where you serve is a Jewish hospice, right?
Correct.
So what does that mean?
Well, in our case, the Zicklin Jewish Residential Hospice in Riverdale is a unit sponsored by UGA Federation of New York, which, by the way, has probably done more for end-of-life care than any federation anywhere on the globe, here and in Israel. It means that our food is glatt kosher. It means we have a staff of young rabbis servicing patients. And on one hand, it means that it is one place where even a deeply devout Orthodox Jew or a cultural Jew, an atheistic Jew, can come and find a Jewish ambiance. That's one side of it, and we can care for the most particular halachic needs of an Orthodox family. On the far other end of the spectrum, you know, Bernie, for many years, some of the great hospice work has been done by other religious denominations, particularly by the Catholic Church. And so many Jews have received tender care at their hands. And I think we feel that the opportunity that we have to serve people of other faiths in our hospice is our way of showing that our tradition has the deep wellsprings of compassion to allow us to do this work as well for any of God's creatures.
And you mentioned UJA, and one of the misconceptions people have about UJA is that they only help Jewish people, and that couldn't be further from the truth, right?
No, UJA does tremendous work in many areas that has a benefit to the whole community.
So in the hospice, is priority given to people of a certain faith, or it's just first come, first serve?
Well, we keep a waiting list, and we try to make sure that everyone who needs hospice care receives it. If, however, there is a person with particular Jewish needs, and we are the only hospice that can help them, we certainly try to make sure that they are cared for in our particular residential hospice.
So if they couldn't, because of their religion, couldn't go to Calvary or some other place, then they might find a home.
Absolutely, and we make every effort, not only, by the way, to welcome them in our hospice, but the Riverdale Jewish community is tremendously welcoming to the families of people who come to us for hospice. That includes all of the synagogues, visitors, and the whole gamut of community embrace. So it's not a hospice floor, it really is a hospice city.
So tell us just briefly a little bit about, you know, how much time do you spend there a week, and when you're there, what are you actually doing?
Well, I am there probably 6 or 8 hours a week personally, but my time is extended because I also supervise a team of 4 young rabbis who work intensively with each and every patient. Every patient is assigned a rabbi, and that patient can always request a clergyman of his or her own faith in addition, but the basic spiritual care comes through rabbis. It's a funny thing, our first patient was an African-American man who was a Muslim, and I did the first intake interview, and we became friends almost immediately. He was a wonderful and charming man. And at the end of the interview, someone said to him, would you like us to contact an imam for you to minister to you according to your faith? And he paused a moment. He says, no, I think I'm going to go with the rabbi. So we have cared for lots of people of lots of faiths, and I hope brought them a little closer to the loving side of the Jewish people.
Well, having spent the last half hour with you, I must say I'm not surprised at his response.
You're very sweet. Thanks.
So all this excellent care. You can't do it alone. The rabbis can't do it alone. A lot of people work there. What about volunteers?
We have the most amazing volunteers. And these volunteers come and give of themselves and make commitments and then almost regularly break their commitments and do much more than they said they were going to do.
And are these typically family members of somebody who's been at the hospice, or just people from the community?
There is no such thing as typically. We have retired social workers and psychologists. We have housewives. We have high school students who are among our most effective volunteers. And we have family members whose loved ones have passed away in our hospice who come back to give to others.
Are there any criteria or any screening done, or if somebody just simply shows up and they're given work?
Well, a volunteer has to go through a careful training program, health screening and things of that nature, to make sure that our patients are protected. But we haven't had to reject too many.
I'm Bernie Crooks, speaking with Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblatt. This is Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney, and we've got to take a short break.
Unexpected medical crises can turn lives upside down. Here's Bernie Crooks from the law firm of Littman Crooks.
Barbara called. I could tell something was wrong. She was calling from the hospital. Her husband had a stroke. Harry was going to need care in a long-term facility, perhaps for the rest of his life.
Barbara couldn't find the necessary documents.
Unfortunately, this is all too common. One spouse gets sick and the other spouse has absolutely no idea where the financial records are.
Harry quickly got the care he needed. In addition to helping Barbara gather and submit the appropriate paperwork, the experts at Littman Crooks also helped access government-financed health care to help pay Harry's medical bills.
Although we can't help Harry get better, Barbara has the peace of mind of knowing their hard-earned family assets will be available to help pay for Barbara's care in the future and to pass on to their children and grandchildren and not be eaten away by the cost of Harry's long-term care.
When a medical crisis strikes, call the law offices of Littman Crooks in White Plains and Manhattan.
Peace of mind with Littman Crooks.
Call 914-684-2100.
Welcome back to Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney. And we're speaking with Rabbi Jonathan Rosenblatt. And boy, we've covered a lot of ground here tonight, Rabbi. Let's say we've got people out there who want to learn more. Who do they call, and what number do they call?
Well, folks who would be interested in general hospice care, home hospice, for example, could certainly call our offices at Continuum. Number I have is 212-844-5247. And if a family believes that residential hospice care in our hospice in Riverdale might be helpful to them, they can reach us at 718-432-7477. And they can ask for Susan Conceição, who is our amazingly gifted director.
Sounds like you got a pretty good staff.
We have the best team ever.
So, hospice is not the kind of thing where you plan in advance. I mean, if somebody calls, they probably have an immediate need.
Yeah, we can move pretty quickly. But you know what? If someone thinks that there may be a possibility, by all means, tell them to come in for a tour. Tell them to meet the people, and we pray to God with you that your loved ones will all be well. But just in case, we'd like you to know that we're there for you.
Rabbi, thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, Bernie. Thank you for having me.
I'm Bernie Crooks, host of Peace of Mind with Bernie the Attorney, and we'll see everyone next Thursday night at 6:05 p.m. Good night.
For your day, Westchester's soft favorites, AM 1230 WFAS.
To see a gun, for tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. Someday you'll know I was the one, but tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. And now the time has come, and so my love I must go. And though I lose a friend, in the end you will know. Oh, one day you'll find that I have gone, but tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. Tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun. And now the time has come, and so my love I must go. And though I lose a friend, in the end you will know. Oh,
find that I have gone. But tomorrow may rain, so I'll follow the sun.
AM 1230 WFAS, Westchester's soft favorites, and hello. And for Bob Barnum, I'm J.J. Kennedy, keeping you company. If you're following the sun, just stay where you are. We have plenty more sunshine tomorrow. Right now, we've got some Barbra Streisand for you. Seems that her concert in Italy has been canceled. Something about ticket prices, though they're denying it. Oh, well, let's just enjoy her for free right now. AM 1230 WFAS. Westchester's soft favorites. They're innocent. Yes, it's Barbra Streisand, Barry Gibb. And good evening. It's 6:44. I'm JJ for Bob Barnum today. And AM 1230 WFAS with Westchester's soft favorites all day. And at night, too. So when the sun sets, stay with AM 1230 WFAS for Westchester's soft nights. A relaxing mix of Westchester's soft favorites, including Barry Manilow, Barbra Streisand, The Beatles, and many more of your favorite artists specially designed for the nighttime hours. Set aside the cares of the workday and relax with Westchester's Soft Nights. That's every night till midnight on Westchester's Soft Favorites, AM 1230, WFAS. Jim Cleefield working in the newsroom hard on these stories for you. A jury in White Plains convicts a man in a brutal slaying. Two students at a Harrison Middle School are sickened, and the plot thickens in the TB scare. And right now, it is definitely time to check in with Craig Chinkman one more time for our ride home and Westchester traffic.
All right, JJ, thanks. Let's go back to the Tappan Zee. We are finishing up in good shape. No problems in either direction. 287 West, we have easing volume heading into White Plains. No problems east on 287. Quiet both ways on 95, heading to New Rochelle. Hutch northbound slows up by the Cross County Parkway. Your update is brought to you by Radio Shack. Radio Shack is the place to be for their massive yellow tag sale. Until June 3rd, you'll get 10 to 50% off already low yellow tag prices. Radio Shack, don't just buy stuff, do stuff. For a check on your forecast, we check back in with meteorologist Tommy Els.
And once again, I will do the honors for Tommy from the WFAS Weather Center. Clouds tonight, a bit humid, isolated early thunderstorm. I don't think that's going to happen. Low 60. At least I hope not. Tomorrow, June begins on the hazy, sunny side of the street. Some showers or thunderstorms late in the day, high 90. And Saturday, some sunshine. A scattered shower or thunderstorm, high 85. So far for Sunday, some sunshine. And once again, we're getting that threat of a thunderstorm late in the day, high of 80. And currently, it's 72 degrees at AM 1230 WFAS.
Hi, this is Dr. Harris Straightner, host of Here's to Your Good Health, which has come to you on WFAS AM 1230, well, for the past 19 years. It's a show about all kinds of health topics, and we even throw in some music. I know you're not going to want to miss Here's to Your Good Health with me, Dr. Harris Straightner, every Saturday at 11 a.m. right here on AM 1230 WFAS.
Hi, I'm Mark Franzoso of Franzoso Contracting. Are you thinking of residing your home this summer? If so, call the company that has a showroom in every neighborhood. Franzoso Contracting, celebrating 27 years. What can we remodel for you? Visit us on the web at franzoso.com.
Would you like to save $50 per household on Benjamin Moore's exterior stain? Wallauer is the most colorful place around, is celebrating 86 years strong. In celebration from May 23rd to June 2nd, come into Wallauer's and get $5 off per gallon, up to 5 gallons, on Benjamin Moore's exterior stain with mail-in rebate. In addition, Wallauer's is matching that with a $5 instant rebate of purchase. You can save up to $50 per household. Are you ready to enjoy the warmer weather? Is your deck ready? No matter what type of deck you have, Benjamin Moore has a stain that captures the personality of you and your family. Benjamin Moore's premium deck stain is the perfect choice to get any deck ready for the season. Their stain is exceptionally easy to apply and gives natural wood superior protection and maximum beauty. For the Wallauer's nearest you, call 948-4000 or visit Wallauer's. Benjamin Moore believes that they're more than stains, they're the shades of your life.
It's color.
It's Wallauer.
The most colorful place around.
For over 80 years.
We have decorated your life.
Wallauer. Think about some of the essential ingredients to economic development in Westchester County. Think about the benefits it brings to everyone who lives or does business here. It's pretty straightforward. It means attracting new businesses and encouraging existing businesses to stay and grow. That's exactly what the new Westchester County Economic Development Book for 2007-2008 is designed to do. Economic development is the cornerstone of a thriving business community, and this publication is a key marketing piece that the County Office of Economic Development and the Westchester Business Council will use to promote Westchester as a great place to live and do business. Your advertising message in this quality publication will reach regional, national, and global businesses. Reinforce your business's important role in the economic tapestry of Westchester. Reach new customer prospects. Your advertising message will be in distribution a minimum of 2 years. Call John Seng at 914-345-3055, extension 18. They'll mail the details. That's 914-345-3055, extension 18.
Rely on us for great music and friendly personalities. Westchester's Soft Favorites, AM 1230 WFAS.
WFAS.
Beneath its snowy metal golden day, the unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. came from on that day. What I love forever is untrue, and if I could, you know that I would fly away with you. Yeah, if I could, you know that I would fly away with you.
You can't help singing along with all the great music on Westchester's soft favorite, AM 1230 WFAS.
WFAS, Westchester's soft favorites, and for Bob Barnum, I'm J.J. Kennedy. Thank you for keeping me company. AM 1230 WFAS.
When it all goes crazy and the thrill is gone, the days get rainy and the nights get long, when you get that feeling you were born to lose, staring at your ceiling, thinking of your blues. When there's so much trouble that you wanna cry, the world has crumbled and you don't know why. When your hopes are fading and they can't be
This is Westchester's Soft Favorites, AM 1230, WFAS, White Plains, Westchester, a Cumulus Media station. It's 7 o'clock.
Fox News Radio, I'm Ken Duffy. Fox News Radio first learned about the father-in-law of a tuberculosis patient under quarantine. Dr. Bob Cooksey works for the CDC and works closely with TB, but says he did not pass on the disease to his son-in-law.
I wasn't involved in any decisions my son-in-law made regarding his travel, nor did I ever act as a CDC official or in an official CDC capacity with respect to any of the events of the past few weeks.
Doctors are still worried about possible transmission to passengers on two international flights, although they say it's a low possibility.
Thinking of probability, the highest likelihood of somebody acquiring tuberculosis from someone else is sitting within very close proximity. We usually say within 5 to 8 feet of someone, sharing airspace for a prolonged period of time.
Dr. Gwen Hewitt at Denver's National Jewish Medical Center, where 31-year-old Andrew Speaker is now being treated. President Bush sending a member of his administration to Iraq following a meeting with Iraq's president at the White House.
A deputy national security advisor is leaving her White House office for a while.
I've asked one of my top aides, Megan O'Sullivan, to return to Baghdad.
Her job? Help the Iraqi government meet those benchmarks by the time the U.S. commander in Iraq makes his next progress report.
Fox News Radio's Rich Johnson. A top commander says they may need more time beyond a September deadline to assess the troop buildup's impact. Come next Friday, we'll have our first space shuttle launch of the year. NASA says they'll hold to that launch date after months of repairing Atlantis, which was damaged by hail in March. The damage was to the external fuel tank. Billy Donovan isn't leaving the state of Florida, but he is leaving the University of Florida. Head coach Billy Donovan will head to the NBA to coach the Orlando Magic. The deal is reportedly worth more than $27 million over 5 years. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This month, Radio Shack is the place to be for incredible savings during their massive yellow tag sale. You'll be blown away by the tremendous savings on a wide variety of top-notch electronics. And only until June 3rd, you'll also be given the Radio Shack employee discount on top of these already low yellow tag prices. That means an additional 10% off select brand name items and 30% off select private label Radio Shack items. The Radio Shack yellow tag sale. Hurry in now and save big. Radio Shack. Don't just buy stuff. Do stuff.
Offer good through 6307 at participating stores only. Availability varies by store.
And now for the bonus round. Three guys walk.